Bob Glasser has spent three decades running one of the region's largest real estate firms, Smith & Associates. It's a fast-changing industry, and Smith says the top firms are the ones that can see around the corners for the next trends and happenings. The Business Observer writes about real estate, residential and commercial, regularly, from trends to deals to people. To read those stories and more, subscribe to the Business Observer. Go to businessobserverfl.com for more. Hello and welcome to the Business Observer's From the Corner Office podcast. I'm Mark Gordon, Managing Editor of the Business Observer. Today's guest is Bob Glasser, President and CEO of Smith & Associates Real Estate. Bob, welcome and thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. And I look forward to our lengthy discussion.
As me as well. So we're going to talk about real estate. We're going to talk about Smith & Associates and your leadership career. Before we get into that, let's have our audience get to know you a little bit more with these get to know you questions, these rapid fire questions. Okay, here we go. Who is one person, dead or alive, you would love to have dinner with?
So, Mark, I think I would answer that by saying my dad. It seems like I never really got all the answers I want. And if I could have that dinner again with him, I bet I could really hear what I needed to hear.
Yeah, when did he, I take it by you saying that he passed away, what year did he pass away?
He passed away in 92. So quite a bit of time ago.
Yeah. Moving on to the next question. What are the two most apps on your phone?
I start the day with Sonos because that hooks up all the music into the bedroom. And then I switch to Spotify after that because then I can switch over in the car. If I'm not listening to WMNF, then I'm on their app in between Spotify and WMNF.
What kind of music? Bonus question. What kind of music do you listen to?
I'm across all genres. I mean, I can go bluegrass to rock and roll with the Rolling Stones, and I could just as well hear something really current today and enjoy hearing what's up in the music world. Maybe not so much EDM, but definitely pretty much anything else.
Got it. Very cool. Sonos, I like it. Okay, what is one food or drink you would take with you to a deserted island?
Well, really, it's got to be drink and food, but if you have to be picky, pasta. You got to take pasta. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
We'd prefer to take the wine with the pasta, but I'll just take the pasta.
And any specific, are you like quirky about, my wife is very quirky about what kind of pasta. It has to be linguine, not spaghetti, not fettuccine. Like, where do you stand in the, like any kind of pasta?
I stand in the, prefer the fresh category. So unfortunately in St. Pete, El Retorno has a butcher shop and they produce fresh pasta. So I usually just pick up whatever they have.
Yes. And then before we get to the meat of the questions, I just heard another deserted island question that I'm going to test out with you, Bob, because you seem game for this this laboratory test. Instead of the food or drink, here's the question. If you were forced to go to a deserted island, would you rather be with your worst enemy or alone?
I think worst enemy. I think, you know, because I'm going to work on converting them somehow over time. We're going to be on that island for a long time. So you got to have somebody. If I was alone, I'd be talking to the birds, you know, it'd be just too much.
It's, so. You know, it's the, I've tested it out on my teenage son and some of his friends, and they all say alone. They'd rather be alone. And and you're a sales guy and you've, you know, you're like, I'm going to convince this enemy. I like it. That's interesting. All right. I don't know if that's going to make it to the final cut yet, but good answer. Okay, Bob. So tell us, you've been in real estate quite a while and you've been CEO of Smith & Associates. I believe this is, you're into your third decade, 30 plus years. Give us kind of an overview of how you got into real estate.
So, when I finished school at USF, I moved from upstate New York. Went to school at USF, finished up, and was sort of wandering. I ended up selling travel for about 4 months, selling in town and country. And then in Tampa, I got involved in insurance. And in that insurance involvement, after about my eighth month in it, I was making presentations to real estate offices. And I made a presentation to an office on Davis Island that Dorothy Yates owned at the time. And Dorothy Yates said, young man, if you can sell insurance to real estate people, you should do real estate. So that got me involved in a startup that I had in Hyde Park called Hyde Park Realty. Did a little bit of door-to-door work in order to get listings that were then maybe 22,000 to 150,000 at the most for houses all through Hyde Park, and made that my made it my career. I had a Homes for Living franchise, which produced a printout and a book showing houses for sale, and you drop that off door-to-door, meet people and say, do you want to list and sell? And that got me to the point where, of course, the markets were very difficult. It was hard to make a sale with interest rates of 20%, 19%. And at that time, at an event in Tampa, I met Mary Smith of Smith & Associates. And she's about 5 foot tall, and I was 6 foot four. And I looked down at Mary, and Mary looked up at me, and she said, why don't you come work for me? And so a week later, I did. And I thought, heck, I can do the hard work, because a lot of people there seem to be selling a little bit more expensive homes than I am. They're more like $350,000. So I went to work with Mary, had a wonderful relationship, a great period of time. And around the early 1990s, she said, do you want Smith? I don't want it. You take it forward and I'll be your choir, sing your praises. And I said, Mary, and I'll just leave it in your name. No one needs to know it's me. So onward we went with the business, and it's been quite a run. It's been 44 years for me, but right, like 30-some years with Smith. So
Yeah, you said upstate New York. Where in upstate New York did you grow up and move from?
I grew up in Rochester, New York, and moved down here because a friend of mine was here on spring break once, going down to Key West in a Cadillac. I looked out and saw Bayshore, and I said, what a place. This would be nice. Let me go here. And then they took any student. Now, you know, I probably couldn't get in, but it was a pretty open market then. I was able to get in and lived up there on Fletcher, somewhere up there in the woods, and enjoyed my years in that part of the market, and found my way south all the way to South Tampa after that.
Wow. So been here, and as we said, 30-plus years at Smith & Associates. Tell us about, you know, one or two of the really big changes that you've had to adapt to in real estate in that time frame.
So I try to erase these memories so I don't have to think about them again, because there's always a new one created every month, I think, in our industry. I wish it was like a widget. It just stayed the same. Once you did it, it just happened. But this industry has more change in someone buying clothes at Nordstrom's. It's endless. So I think probably the most dramatic change was when we went from what was a published MLS book to a website, to actually the MLS being published on a national basis. So you could find homes, you could look up metrics, you know what homes are listed for, what they're selling for. And it changed the dynamics of how people worked, in which went well, because that dynamic also changed who was in the industry. Many of the folks that had been the selling for years probably could not do technology, but because they held the customer's hand so well and were fully serviced, they could do that portion. So you had to help maneuver the group that were selling quite a bit with assistance in technology, and yet at the same time bring those folks that were interested in technology, younger, up into the ranks and show them the other side of the business, which was how to hold hands to people and not to rely on technology, which is still going on. There are still change in technology and service all the time.
Yeah, 100%. To meld that both of, you know, it's a much different product in journalism, but it's similar in that we have to figure out ways to meld our technology with, you know, stories that are authentic and genuine and reported. And for your industry, right, it's still a people industry, right? Even with all the technology, you want to trust the realtor that you have.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's, you can drive by a sign and call to get the data, but once the person that meets you on the other side of the door has to walk you through a process that has never become, I mean, it's been complicated from the start, and it just, for some reason, can't get away from it. You know, it's just difficult.
Yeah. One thing about Smith and Associates, you guys have grown, you know, through the years, you know, the market's obviously grown and you guys have grown with it to an extent, but I know the agent count has grown and the technology side has grown. So as a leader of this company, how have you sort of grown with that? You know, what have you looked for in other people to bring with you in leadership?
So the people that, you know, it's, you can't rubber stamp them, so we can't all look alike. And everybody brings a little bit something different to the party, which is nice. Yeah. I really feel like it's important managing other people that you have a lot of empathy. You got to be able to know them, understand their own peculiarities as a selling agent, their family, how they work. And that way you can support and coach people best, you know. And that means when you're in a leadership position, you put your ego aside because their ego is more important than you. And then your whole well-being is all about trying to help them build a bigger business. And it takes a lot of work. And so I like to see my leaders have that capability. And I think we're about 99% like that. You know, there's days that I wish I could have someone tweaked a little differently, but for the most part, we've got a great team doing that kind of work.
How have you evolved as that kind of leader? You know, when you started, you mentioned, you know, you and Mary kind of talked and she said, hey, I want to get out of the business. And there was an opportunity for you again, that you've been doing it a while now. So how have you evolved in your thought process as a leader?
Oh my God. Mark, I used to, worry about coming to a meeting with a manager or one of my higher employees and looking at them and being honest. Like, oh, I'm going to have to eat crow a little bit here. Like, I can't say what I'm about to say to them. I know I'm going to screw it up. You know, I was not strong enough to immediately say what I needed to say. And it took me time with people to really know that what I was about to say helped them just as much as it helped me. And takes years to learn it. And then once you have your full confidence, which I gained over time because I had made my own mistakes and had my own wins. And so I learned, you know, 100% up front is always best.
Yeah, that does take, I think it takes experience. I have learned it takes experience in doing it over and over to get that confidence.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. What's a piece of leadership advice that you have received over your career that really stands out to you?
I mean, the big thing, many of the early pioneers in real estate who are deceased or fully retired at this point, the biggest thing for them was code of ethics. You know, they were very well trained on the code of ethics as to not only what the level of service should be to your customer, but also how to work with your peer group. And the code of ethics pretty much tells us, gives us a guiding path how to work with everybody that we surround with in the industry. And that's fairness, it's equality, it's honesty, it's, you know, having a immediate communication when they're trying to reach you and they're also trying to get a transaction complete. It's work with your seller and your buyer and be able to, like in today's market, having a conversation about a buyer's broker agreement and what it means and what the compensation is. So following the code of ethics really was the biggest thing. And I think today, being in the business so long, that's what I can offer my agents and the team, same thing. I get a little on the street and I see something, I'll call another agent from another firm and just say, by the way, you have to remember this is code of ethics. This is what you got to do.
Yeah. And so you're still holding strong to that. I'm curious how, you know, there could be some gray areas, right? You have opinionated and strong personalities as realtors, right? And sometimes there's gray areas, right? Now, sometimes it's really clear you violated that. That's not what we're supposed to do. As a leader, how have you handled those sort of gray area conversations.
So, so much, even legal in lawsuits and stuff, things can be quite gray. But most recently, thinking about an instance, the procuring cause of sale is in the code of ethics. Procuring cause of sale is a chain of events that takes place when I meet with you, and then I try to sell you a home, but for some reason it doesn't occur. And then later in that process, you end up going back to that house with another agent and buying it. And so procuring cause of sale that flies in the face of a conflict with a buyer broker agreement, which is now mandatory in the markets. So you have a little bit of a gray area and a conflict. What supersedes the other? And so for agents, work with customers, they really have to be thorough to be able to show the process and getting the buyer broker agreement signed up front. The buyer understands completely the process. And then if they so decide to cancel that agreement, go to another agent, everything's very clear. So,
yeah.
But right now, that's probably one of the more gray areas of our industry working through.
So transparency, it's good. Really, that's a good answer for a lot of issues, right? If you want to avoid the conflict, be transparent about it and be clear and over communicate.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned your dad. I don't know if this would be part of that answer. Who have been some mentors of your, or a mentor, Bob, and what have you learned from them as far as leadership and in your career?
See, when I mentioned I was out on the street selling insurance on Davis Island with that Dorothy Yates, Dorothy was, her husband created the Board of Realtors. She lived to 102, but Dorothy, in the process as a mentor, she was probably my entree into the code of ethics. So signs on the street, she'd call me and say, Bob, only one sign. You can't have two signs. Remember, you know, and I didn't even know her or work for her. But anyways, we developed a really nice rapport because I was young, you know, in my 20s and learning and trying to understand the business best. But she had lunch. We chatted throughout her life because of that and developed a nice relationship. And of course, Mary Smith, Mary's a little different from that. Mary, at her 5 foot, give or take, she was formidable in her own right. So Mary's part of my life has always been the community. You know, she was quite clear that as a real estate firm, let's make sure we're positioned giving to the community in as many ways as we can. You know, on a baseball field, going to the right events, supporting a table, just sort of sticking with the program, both right people, right agents, and right commitment to the community. So fortunate to have those people in our life. Mary's with us today. She's 98 over at Canterbury.
Excellent.
She wow. still checks. She checks in on me. It's like, how we doing? What's up?
Where's the market now? I love it. That's great. Yeah, she's still growing.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. You know, another side of leadership we didn't talk about is sort of overcoming things that don't go your way. You know, whether it's, you know, not getting the closing that you wanted, losing a client, losing maybe a high performing realtor. Just in general, as a leader, how do you respond to setbacks and you know, failures and mistakes and things that didn't go your way?
Yeah, I mean, it used to bother me. And so that bothering followed with probably a shot of tequila. And now I'm less bothered because we are formidable. We have a very big piece of the market. We'll lose a good person. It hurts internally because you've tried so hard to bring them up. But you have to understand too. You start to understand a little bit better. Like someone might be with, came up in their 20s or 30s or with you 12 years, and they want to try somebody else. So things begin to make sense and become less hurtful because, like, people have to make choices just as we make our own choices of how we operate the business, our own focus. So age will tenderize you in many ways.
Yeah. Good advice. You know, one last question, Bob, as we get toward kind of the, you know, the last quarter of the year, what's new and exciting? What's happening at Smith & Associates that you're particularly excited about as the year comes to an end?
So a couple of things. Of course, we're believing we may have a slight change in interest rate, and maybe that will eke a few more people out of the market. Although the markets, even though we've had a little bit of a change in pricing, average market's been pretty steady, fortunately. But bigger than that, we've had an opportunity now to, in our development cycle, to be working with the Waldorf Astoria in St. Petersburg. And on September 17th, we will launch that in a sales center unlike anyone that we've seen in Tampa Bay before. And just as initial start, we've had great interest. And likewise, in the fall here, as we start to look at Tampa, the one Tampa with Coulter exceeds 50% in sales or otherwise. They're in ground, I think they're on their sixth floor of that building now. So that's really the first true high rise in that CBD district. And that's going to change the market a bit. So we're really excited about the two of them, how they're positioned, and how that's working on both sides of the bay. Both a little unique product, but it shows the interest this Bay Area has for high-rise living.
Excellent. So some good things happening for sure the rest of 2025. Well, Bob Glasser, Smith & Associates Real Estate, thank you so much for joining us on the From the Corner Office podcast.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. I've enjoyed it very much. You put some, got me thinking about some times in the past and some times ahead. So I appreciate that.
Thank you for listening to the Business Observer From the Corner Office podcast. I'm your host, Mark Gordon. This podcast was produced by Reed Corley of the Corley Company in Sarasota. To hear more episodes of From the Corner Office podcast, go to businessobserverfl.com.